So I'm Don Rowe. I'm at the University of Buffalo. I'm the director of the Office of Public Health Practice, and we are a part of the participation of the core group in the program that we'll be talking about in just a moment. Also, I have no financial or any other relationships that I need to disclose with this. My role, as you will see as I advance this, and I think I can by just hitting the... Let's see what happens here. Oh, I didn't give you all of my background. Really, really quickly. Director of the Office of Public Health Practice. I'm also the chair of the New York State Rural Health Council. I'm the president of the New York State Association for Rural Health. I'm a rural AHEC board member, a state AHEC advisory committee board member, and I'll stop at that. There we are. Don Rowe, Paul Pettit, et cetera. No relationship. What I want to talk about a bit is the notion of fertile ground. It is much easier to collaborate when collaborations are already part of the culture in the region. If you have a spirit, if you have a group of people that work have had a history of working together, you already have a culture that says, well, we've already doing this in some way, so it's a much easier place to get started from then if you have to build these relationships from scratch. So past successes lay the foundation for the future. So if you have collaborations that have started and have shown progress and actual outcomes, you really are well positioned to move forward with new initiatives, and that's a key piece. History of collaboration in Western New York. I'll talk about the Western New York Public Health Coalition and Western New York Public Health Alliance. I've also put into all of these slides, or most of the slides, a website, because there's so much more than I could possibly say in this short time, but you can go to those sites and find out more information yourself. The collaboration part with respect to public health began in 1992 with the formation of the Western New York Public Health Coalition, and it started slowly. It built on successful efforts, and in 1995, they got together and decided that they were going to do a couple of things, or 98 rather. A regional adult behavioral health risk assessment across 8 counties of Western New York involving the universities, et cetera, with funding from the state health department. And I couldn't go into all of those details of how that worked, but it was great. But it was a non-legal entity. It was simply a coalition. And that started in 92, and we had successes during the course of that time, and it then became a not-for-profit 501c3 in 2005. Some of the outcomes of this is that within this now Western New York Public Health Alliance, regional adult behavioral health risk assessment was done, and this data was available to be used and is used now even for grantsmanship. And it involves a whole host of things that I'd rather you go to it than me spend a whole lot of time. Another thing that happened during the course of this is the Physician's Guide to Public Health. 3 different iterations of this particular guide were sent out to practitioners across the 8 counties of Western New York, helping them to understand how they can utilize existing public health services to foster their success in their own particular medical practice. A key piece of this was also during this time was the Regional Office of Public Health Emergency Preparedness was created. Some of you perhaps were around post 9/11 when the grants from CDC came forth. The 8 counties of Western New York had 45 deliverables that they had to do, and none of them had individually anywhere near the resources to do it. But they've been working together successfully on projects, and they decided to go ahead and attempt to get some additional leverage, if you will. They went to all their respective legislative bodies, 8 of them, and to get approval to take some of the money that they would normally get all for their counties and create an entity that would help them actually achieve all of the goals that was necessary. And in fact, it has been tested. I don't have time to talk to you about the tested, but it has been actually proven with an actual experimental situation where, I'll do it very quickly, outbreak of a hepatitis A case. They were able to mobilize resources from the public health sector to Erie County, New York, in order to prophylax 10,500 people in a short period of time. The end result of this also was this was so successful that there were multiple regional spin-offs. And I'll go to the next slide. Yeah, well, some of the regional spin-offs that actually are not on this slide, because I'll talk about these briefly. Instead of just a, let's say, Healthy Heart Coalition, if you're familiar with those, instead of 1 county, 8 county, and a host of these, multi-county tobacco coalitions were also part of this thing. all as a result of the success of the previous work that was done. Some of the other successful collaborations in Western New York are the P2 Collaborative. It's an organization which is principally funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, looking at healthcare delivery in the Western New York region of New York State, looking at redundancies and how things could be done better by coalition and cooperation amongst entities. Area health education centers also have a history of success in terms of workforce development, and there are multiple examples of that. Also, in terms of collaborative programs or not-for-profit organizations, the New York State Association for Rural Health. All of these have activities on their website. My principal focus here is just to tell you how important is the collaboration and how to make sure that you develop a collaborative environment. Here are some of the other examples of collaboratives. Rural health networks, and examples in the region are the Lake Plains Community Care Network. Dr. Oakley is from that in particular. The SEITU Rural Health Network, Allegheny Western Steuben Rural Health Network, Chautauqua County Health Network, Healthy Community Alliance, all of which have public health components on their boards. And so the collaboration piece is extremely important. Planting the seed. With decades-long history of multiple collaboration and partnerships, coupled with economic imperatives, the notion of cross-jurisdictional sharing in public health was now an idea whose time had come. Hopefully, I've shown you that this is now the time that we can actually begin to explore some things. And so I will terminate with this statement. Thus begins the story of a collaboration between a university, two health departments, and a not-for-profit Lake Plains Community Care Network, exploring the potential for cross-jurisdictional sharing in rural New York State.
Okay, you're really confused.
Keep you on your feet.
But you're going to continue on with this.
Yes.
And you are Paul Pettit. Okay, I do have yours. Sorry about that. Let's see. Paul Pettit is a public health director for Genesee and Orleans County health departments and a lifelong resident of Orleans County, New York. He's been in the Orleans County Health Department 15 years and in 2012 became director over both the Genesee and Orleans County health departments through a CIS service project. Paul has a B.S. from the University of Rochester in Environmental Health Sciences and an M.S. in Strategic Leadership from Roberts Wesleyan College.
Well, thank you, everybody. Again, I'm glad to have you, so many of you, stay and participate in this session. I'd like to think the work that we're doing is noteworthy and something that we're happy to share with you guys. And as Don mentioned, my goal here is to do a little storytelling. We have been participating in this project for a little over 2 years now. What I'd like to do is walk you through a little bit of the background of where and how this all started, some of the logistics behind that, through the project itself, and then get into some of the return on investment analysis and what we've found over the past couple of years to be successes and some failures, et cetera, and then just kind of lay out where we're going moving forward beyond the end of this project. So before I start, I'd like to give you a little bit of a geographical reference to where we are. So we're up here in New York. You can see the two highlighted counties here, so Orleans and Genesee. You can see on the left and right of us is Erie and Monroe, which have the cities of Buffalo and Rochester. So we're two rural counties situated between two urban centers. We often find ourselves, finding some disparities there between the two, but it does allow us to have our own unique perspective on things. A little more geographic and demographics. It's between the two counties together, they're a little over 950 square miles or so between the two total, so it gives you a little perspective of the size there. Mainly towns, some small villages, one city in the city of Batavia, which is in Genesee County, of about 17,000 people. Between the two, we have a total population of about 103,000. So 40,000 or so in Orleans and a little over 60 in Genesee. So it gives you a little bit of reference of how rural we are. And but together, again, working and moving forward, we've been able to do a lot of different things. We're very similar politically, supermajority conservative Republican in our rural areas. So these are some things that as I talk about, it'll help to frame about how we've been able to move some of the successes of what we've done. We have a very strong partner relationship with our county managers and our legislators across the county lines. These, again, are all different things that, you know, Pat touched on a little bit that lead to the successes of being able to do some of these cross-jurisdictional sharing, especially at the depth that we've been able to get to here. You know, you need to have some bonding and some familiarity to be able to make these things work, and we'll talk about those a little bit. So a little background. Before I can get to where we've been, I need to kind of lay out how we got there. So discussion started first in about 2007. This was I started as the public health director in 2008 in Orleans County. Prior to that, the county managers on a trip to a meeting in Syracuse were discussing some of their dilemmas and trying to do some different things within their departments in the county. And public health came up because my predecessor, who had been there for 17 years, was retiring. And the director in Genesee County had left, so they had a vacancy. So they were talking about some different ways maybe they could work together and possibly looking at sharing a public health director. At that time, even though they thought it was a good idea, it was quickly shot down. There was a lot of or lack of support by the State Department of Health. It was new to them, the State Department of Health in New York. You know, not necessarily always on the cutting edge with things. You know, it's one of those things that they didn't necessarily see the value in for the last 40 years. They were entrenched in public health law that says each county should have their own public health director, separate boards of health, et cetera. So this was unique to them when they were approached with this question. So their initial response was, oh, well, I don't know about that. And then also locally, our boards of health, you know, again, they were entrenched in decades of familiarity in what they did. And having one director to oversee their departments, and I think there was a, you know, at that point a lack of support for moving forward with this type of a relationship. So the feasibility, although it sounded good, you know, especially from a financial standpoint and the lack of being able to land and have good public health directors, sounded good. We weren't there yet. So it was one of those things we were starting to let it percolate a little bit. So I took over as public health director for Orleans County, as I mentioned individually, in 2008. And time marched on. So I'll fast forward a little bit to 2012. Continued pressure by the State Association, NYSAC in New York State, along with some other pressures, you know, basically allowed a change in the law, which basically moved it so there was some more acceptance. Again, there's another 4 to 5 years here. So the idea behind this type of a relationship was gaining some ground. And, you know, we essentially got to the point where the changes would allow for a public health director, one, to oversee up to 3 counties of a population total of 150,000 people. So the environment was now favorable. You know, now we're just waiting for that opportunity to arise. So as we look and we move along here, the interim director in Genesee County put in his retirement notice in 2012, and he was going to be leaving. So now I'm in place for 4 to 5 years in Orleans County. The opportunity arose in Genesee. So again, the changes in the law, we decided that now might be the time to start taking a look at this again. This is something that has been on kind of the radar out there, but we hadn't had the opportunity. Now it was here. So process begins in October of 2012, full steam ahead. So with any type of change, as you guys, most of you know, you need some type of a project driver. You need someone to be out there leading that charge, or it's not going to happen. So I guess fortunately, unfortunately, that was me. You know, I as the sitting public health director, planned to be around for a while, vacancy on the Genesee County end. I was quickly identified as someone that needed to get out there and try to start establishing some relationships and trying to get the buy-in that we would need, you know, to make this happen. Because, again, this is a brand new thing, especially in New York State. So in the fall of 2012, I started the conversations, and I put up there coffee time is what I like to call it. It's one of those things where I spent a lot of time between October and May of that year of 2012 having coffee and talking about cross-jurisdictional sharing and how it would look to have a shared public health director anyways to get things rolling, and having a lot of conversations with the boards of health, with the county legislators, with the county managers. Again, a new thing that people were very unfamiliar with, a little skeptical of, but you know, it was one of those things that we knew it was going to take some time to get everybody on board. And the next bullet there, you can see 5 decision-making bodies. I know many of you may have boards and things that you report to. I'm talking about 5 independent boards that we all needed to get on the same page. Not an easy task, so it took quite a while to get there. through conversations. So we had two boards of health in both counties, two county legislature, two county managers, and the New York State Department of Health all needed to be on the same page with this to make it happen. So we worked through a lot of different discussion points and how this was all going to look. And, you know, we basically got to the summer of 2012, and I put up there that it was a memorable week where the stars aligned. It's something that you don't see happen too often, but it did this one week. We essentially locally had decided, all five bodies, that we were ready and willing to start this pilot project where we were going to look at shared services, sharing a public health director for a two-year period. So again, these five body boards I mentioned, we all came into agreement it was going to happen. So we were celebrating the success of that, and I received a call from New York State Department of Health folks who called and said, hey, you know, we just agreed and we're going to, you know, move forward with this pilot, but we also just received notification of a funding opportunity from the Robert Wood Johnson folks, and, you know, you may be interested in this. It looks like it kind of parallels what you guys are going to be doing locally anyway. So I said, oh, great, money, resources to help, you know, this with this initiative, perfect. So I put a couple calls out. I called Ken Oakley and said, hey, you know, there's a grant out here. You run a rural health network that covers our counties. How would you like to facilitate and apply for this grant on our behalf? And he's like, sure, he's all in. And then we called up Don Rowe and said, Don, you know, we'd like the university to partner on this. We've been talking about different ways that we can approach and integrate some different things with the university and our local health departments, and said, hey, here's a perfect opportunity to sign on here, and we can work on this project together and also have access to some of the MPH students and, you know, to help assist us with this process. So by the end of that week, we had agreement on the project. We had a grant application getting prepped to go out to participate in a national study on shared services outside the realm of our local pilot project. And it was just one of those things where it was a good week. So we happens once in a while. So anyways, we from that point through end of September, we started preparing our intermunicipal agreements. Again, this was the next phase here. We come to agreement on what we wanted to do. And we at that point had to start getting everything together. So we got the lawyers involved, and it you know, became a little more bogged down at that point, but we got through it. So we started the pilot project officially in 2014. Or it's my 2013 on January 1st officially. Also found out we were going to participate in the RWJ project. So things were kicked off and we were moving. You know, again, I did want to reiterate that we were and are the only counties in New York State doing this type of work right now in the depth that we are doing it. So moving on to return on investment. This is debatable slides here, I suppose. Obviously, we always try to make things look good. And try to grab everything we can to highlight the return on investment. Obviously, there's some subjectivity here, and the numbers, you know, that I'm sharing, there's fiscal savings here, but, you know, we like to call them enhanced benefits. You know, so there is hard dollars that we're saving between the two counties, but there's also benefits. And when we go through these real quick, you can see that it kind of lays out the same way. So this is just the return on investment from year one. So this is year 2013. And these are replicated costs that we've achieved. So now we're at the end of year two. So we're almost up to $900,000 of savings in 2 years of doing cross-jurisdictional sharing between the two counties. So real quickly, what this entails is splitting costs of four administrative positions. When we started the project, it was myself and a deputy/environmental health director who started this project back 2 years ago. In the interim, we've added in a director of community health services, and also most recently our emergency preparedness coordinator is now a shared management position between both counties. So we're currently up to four, so obviously there's you guys can do quick math. There's a quick savings to both counties by having, instead of four in each county, we now have four shared. So obviously there's some cost driving there. And also, as was mentioned earlier by Pat, our ability to recruit for some of these positions that we've had over the past year, especially our director of community health services, was enhanced, and we were able to bring in a higher level credentialed person than we would have alone. So there was a direct benefit that, as Pat mentioned, sharing has allowed us to, you know, to offer more. Sharing travel, meetings, et cetera, you know, obviously what we've been doing is sending one person to meetings to represent both counties. Not a lot of money on each individual meeting, but it adds up over time. Not having to send two different people, et cetera, all the time. They just bring everything back and share it with staff. Another area is common and shared consulting and professional services. Again, prior to the relationship, we both had our independent agreements with different service providers. Now moving forward, we have shared medical director services. We have shared environmental consulting services, shared transportation services for preschool. And these things were all done and driven after the start of our project. And the reason we put them on the quantitative side is we do have hard dollars to basically show that prior to the relationship, we were spending a significant amount of more money independently of each other than when we came together. So there's definitely some cost savings there. The biggest one being preschool transportation, very expensive program in New York State. Between the two counties, we were spending over $1 million a year separately providing transportation services in our two counties. As a result of our new contract that we have, we're saving over $100,000 a year, which the new provider wasn't doing it for either one of us prior to that. So it's a new contract, and basically they told us they were only interested in bidding on it because it was a bigger catchment area, bigger area where they can make more money, et cetera. So last thing was more of a benefit. CDC FAP associate, a fellow, we applied independently for the previous couple years and to no avail. So when we started the project, we decided let's put an application in and see what happens, highlighting our shared services project. And we were awarded a FAP associate who's been with us for the past year and a half through the end of this upcoming summer. So free employee for 2 years, that's been a bonus. So we're quite pleased with that. So those are some of the quantitative. Moving on to qualitative real quick. You know, again, there's fiscal savings here, but again, we put them under qualitative. The biggest thing we've done is public health messaging. We have educators on both sides of the fence. And, you know, being able to align our public health messaging has been very important. We share common media markets between Rochester and Buffalo, our local papers. They hit all of our constituents in both counties. And being able to have them work together to frame their public health messaging instead of doing a lot of redundancy and, you know, putting out messages opposite weeks of the same thing with little different twists on it, we've aligned all that. So that's gone quite well. The educators are like co-workers now. They're meeting all the time together and working on grants and other things that, you know, previous to that they were doing independently. Also in New York State, we have to do a community health assessment and community health improvement plan. We did that collaboratively. We turned in a joint plan. And that has been well received from the state. And again, it's just helping to continue us down that continuum towards further integration. Joint purchasing and vendor contracts. Again, working with one vendor has been easier for staff, again, that are shared, allowing us to be able to not have to have multiple different agencies to work with. Also, some changes in approach and some of the language and how we approach our services. You know, obviously, we put up here a theoretical savings, but the reality is when we came together and started deep diving into our different policies and the way we carry out services, our septic program, you know, we put our heads together and looked at how we do things with our loan approval process and determined where was a better path forward. So some changes and modifications to how we do things led us to changes in the program, which have driven theoretical savings. These are really costs that our residents are now saving and not having to put in new septic systems where prior to that they had. So again, just putting heads together, working together led to some of those. Sharing interns between the counties, again, something we're doing now through the University of Buffalo, SUNY Brockport, et cetera. You know, we're to the point now where we're actually turning down interns because we're getting three or four requests per semester, and, you know, it's a little more than we can handle sometimes. The last big thing here is the shared service staffing agreement. This is a very key point and part of our shared services project. Took a while to get there. We had the unions involved because we do have separate unions on both sides of the fence, but we were able to negotiate and move through some of those issues to the point where they were willing to sign off on a shared staffing agreement. So as of today, I can send any of my staff in either county across that geographical barrier and deliver public health services, which is the first time we've been able to do that in the project and moving forward. It's been very, very successful. Allows us to move resources as needed. I can send inspectors up to one county or the other to do inspections. If there's people out on sick leave or competencies that we have across the line in one area, not another, we've been able to bring those to the other county. So again, these are some of the enhanced benefits that may not be the fiscal piece, but they are vital for us to be able to enhance our public health delivery system within the two counties. All right, so just wrapping up, moving forward, we're finishing up the second year of the Robert Wood Johnson Project, ends December 31st. We are in the process of doing some joint strategic planning. Prior to this point, it was a pilot with a definitive end date, but with the success that we've had, we have buy-in by all the key stakeholders to move forward with this on a longer-term institutionalized type relationship. And we're going to be going through the strategic planning process where we've just started and expect to go through early part of next year, which will help lay out our future moving forward with our service delivery and how we can continue to integrate. We're also exploring the joint accreditation. You know, it's one of these things that, again, we're going to have the strategic plan in place. We already do our community health assessment, and we're going to keep that on the back burner, but that's something within the next year or two, hopefully, we can move forward on taking a look at. So finally, you know, we're meeting with the decision makers, moving forward, we're renewing all our intermunicipal agreements for a minimum of a 5-year period. Those will be in front of the legislature in December for approval. We're looking at merging the boards of health. This was something that was changed in the law in 2012, and we're hopefully by the end of the first quarter of next year, we're going to have one common board of health that's appointed over both counties that I'll report to that will, again, make things a little bit easier. Right now, there's a little redundancy with duplicate meetings, et cetera. So we're moving through that process. And the biggest thing, you know, is we're institutionalizing the shared service relationship. You know, can't say we're going to be one unit down the road, but we're moving in that direction, as Pat talked about, the continuum. You know, we've made a lot of strides and successes along the way, and, you know, we're continuing to kind of go through this step-by-step as a learning process. You know, there's really no roadmap for us at the forefront. We're kind of living it as we go along. But it's been an exciting past 2 years. It's been full of some, you know, different trials and things for us to kind of maneuver and work through. But, you know, it's one of those things that I, you know, would want to make sure I recognize my staff. You know, they've been very flexible and allowed me to play and do different things. And, you know, that's not easy. Again, when you're getting to different cultures and you're dealing with these peoples, they look at things, you know, territorially sometimes, and they're worried about their jobs and how that makes up and how it can play out for them. So, you know, they've been very good, and we've been able to hopefully, you know, do a lot of good things, and we're looking forward to continuing that moving forward. So thank you for your time. I'll answer questions later if you have any. So thanks.